Hi, friend. My name is Amy Joy, and this is the Make Prayer Beautiful podcast. One of my friends sent me a beautiful question about how to navigate tricky relationships. So in this case, the question was, when you have a relationship in your life that also puts silly expectations on you, or the person says stuff they really shouldn't, but it is a family relationship that you need to be in, and the person really is a loving person, they just don't have much of a filter. You visit and you leave, or they visit and they leave, but the yuck of it stays with you for a day or so. Have you found any pre or post visit spiritual or mental helps to keep yourself from absorbing the yuckies of the visit and just appreciate the person instead? Whew, good question. So Jesus, you have solutions, and so we welcome the solutions that you have. So a few comments just up front. One of them is the fact that it's a family relationship that you can't get out of is important, because if there's a person who's consistently leaving you feeling yucky who isn't family, then I think it's a really fair question to say, Lord, do I need to be in this relationship? And just listen, honestly, some of these questions I feel like are so awesome because you're like, I actually don't know the answer. Do I need to be in this relationship? Maybe yes. Maybe there is something the Lord is doing. And maybe no. Maybe the Lord is like, I didn't ask you to be in that relationship. So it's a fair question for people who are not relatives. For relatives, I guess you could probably still ask the same question, but let's assume that we've made it past that initial stage of, is this a healthy relationship with, or that I'm supposed to, not healthy, but is this a relationship I'm supposed to be in? Let's assume the answer is yes. And so then the reality is that people can be carrying things even if they're not saying things that are bad. Does that make sense? So I have visited a home where coming away from the home, even though there was nothing overtly said to me that would be upsetting, that my mental state was shifted for probably about 2 weeks afterwards. Like, oh, it just took a while to have all of the little tentacles put off. So I say that in part because it isn't necessarily that the family member is saying things or that the things that they're saying are the problem. It could be just the spirit that they carry. And which I guess in some ways, if it's affecting you in the same way, does it really matter? Maybe not. But the point is, don't assume that it's just these comments that are being, that are triggering you or something. And so probably one of the steps would be to say, Lord, why are these particular comments triggering me? I know I'm going to be much more likely to be upset if somebody is going to talk to me about, you think you're better than everybody else because you're just, are you the only one who does things perfectly? That is going to hurt me because I have tried, like wrestling with perfectionism is actually just something that I deal with. Whereas if they were to make a comment about, oh, I don't know, my relationship with my husband or something, I'm like, well, we actually get along super well. So the relationship is, I don't know why you're trying to make a mean comment about that. The point is, what is it in you that is rising up around these comments? And I don't know that I've really found the solution. I guess, to me, where I am right now, I would say put on the armor of God before the person arrives, which literally is like, oh Lord, I'm either with my physical hands doing the actions as if I'm putting on the helmet of salvation, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, buckling the belt of truth, slipping the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace on my feet, picking up the shield of faith and taking up the sword of the Spirit. Let's go. So there's that kind of practical measure. In Good Spiritual Hygiene, our book on Amazon, there are additional prayers that you could pray just around cutting free after an event or dealing with the, you know, trying to gird yourself up in the faith or spiritually in advance. So those would be additional options. I know sometimes if I've been in a situation where I just came out feeling kind of slimed, I put my hand in a bowl of water and say, Jesus, bless this water for cleansing. We know that you gave us baptism for cleansing. And so do a similar kind of cleansing now. And then I just wipe it on my head or maybe do the sign of the cross on my forehead, my hands and my feet. And it varies from time to time. So I'm saying this isn't a specific religious ritual, but for me, it's like, I know that I need more cleansing. And so I'm just asking for it. I will also ask the Lord that any tentacles or any additional smoke screen or fog that can simply be wiped clean or cleared out. And sometimes I also just think, you know, I can ask the Lord, are there additional pathways that are open that I simply haven't identified yet? You know, sometimes maybe there's these little entrance portals, whether it's an unconfessed sin or unforgiveness, or I don't even know what else might be causing an opening, but that's a question we can ask. Lord, is there an opening that I'm allowing so that I'm getting more pummeled than I wish I was? And all of that is really good, but then for me at the moment, because I don't feel like I have completely mastered this one, so in my own journey at the moment, I guess I just feel like, Lord, you know that I'm going to do the best I can. And if I come away and I feel a little bit like, oh, it's going to take me a couple days to get back to myself, that's actually just the price of being where I am in the journey at the moment. So I know when I first started going to church again after COVID, there were times I would go and I wouldn't feel like myself again until Monday evening, let's say. And so now if I go to church and I come home and I don't feel like myself until Sunday evening, I mean, I wish that I wouldn't come under anything that is unpleasant. But the reality is I would way rather have it be 6 hours than 32 hours. I'm definitely preferring Sunday night to Monday night. But I guess I just feel like my point is it's okay to not be in a place of perfection in the realm of trying to navigate tricky relationships. I know years ago I was praying with a friend before the friend went to a family visit. And, you know, family is so tricky because they've known you so long that they don't necessarily see you through the lens of who you are now. They might see you through the lens of who you were as a teenager or in elementary school or, you know, at a previous part of your journey. And you're like, well, that was me, but I have actually matured and grown since then. So that's also part of what makes it hard. It's also challenging because we all have specific roles that we play in our family. And those are actually pretty well ingrained. And so anything that you're trying to do to fight against the obvious ruts that relationships run in, it's going to be challenging. And so I think part of my prayer is always, Lord, give me new patterns. But if I happen to accidentally run into the old ruts and I'm going in that pattern, then forgive me, but give me the grace to be where I am in this rut. Meaning, let me not beat myself up for not behaving, you know, kind of perfectly and having a completely new mind and new relationships and everything else. Like, I would love to have it, but since most likely that won't happen, at least not immediately, then give me the grace to battle through or muddle through maybe with your Holy Spirit's help and forgiveness and whatever else. So that was not as coherent as I would prefer. But in some ways that is kind of a picture of trying to deal with family challenges. So yeah, Lord, as we gather with those who love us, and who are also imperfect, as are we all. Lord, I pray that you would give us the grace to be able to navigate some of the challenging situations, seeing them from your heart. Thank you, Lord. Amen.